Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shor. Maseches Sukkah has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Noach Stengel, Le'ilui Nishmas Menachem Meir ben Naftali, and Esther Bas David.
Sukkah Daf Tes Zayin. The Gemara is in the middle of discussing the Mishnah that said that if you're Mesachich Ba'aruches Hamita with the posts of a bed, then the Sukkah is Psula. And the Gemara tried to bring a Raya from the Mishnah to the Shita of Rav Ami Bar Tevyoimi, who said that if you're Mesachich Bevloi Kalim, which means Kalim that used to be Kalim, the Gemara explains Matlonyes She'em Behem Sholosh Al Sholosh, the rags that used to be in the form of a Beged, and they got minimized, so now they don't have the shear of Sholosh Al Sholosh. Rav Ami Bar Tevyoimi says that it's no good, because even though now they're not Mekabel Tumah, but since it came from a Kli, Gozer Barabona, that's the way Rashi explained. So the Gemara says the same thing would hold true with the posts of a bed. Right now it's not a Kli, because it's detached from the bed. Nevertheless, you see from the Mishnah that it's considered Psula, because it came from a bed. The Gemara answered that there's no Raya, because we could be talking about Aruche Samita, which are still in the form of a Kli. What does that mean? The Gemara explained, Aruche Ushtei Kra'ayim, Biktzaru Ushtei Kra'ayim. If one of the crossbars of the bed are intact, together with two of the legs of the bed, then, as the Gemara explains later, it's still roi to be used if you put it near a wall and you use rope to create a bed. So that still has a Shem Kli on it, and therefore there's no raya to the memra of Rav Ami Bar Tevyoimi that when you have something that came from a Kli, but now is no longer a Kli at all, that it is usher to be misachik with. Because there's no raya, it could be that we're talking about this case, which is still considered a Kli. The Gemara brought that svara of Arucho Shtei Kra'ayim, Biktzara Shtei Kra'ayim, it was imported from a different place. The Gemara is now discussing that Makar. So it was a memra that was relating to a Mishnah in Kalim. The Mishnah said, Mita metames chavila umetaheres chavila divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer's shita is that a mita, in order for it to become tame, it has to be totally attached, that all the parts have to be together. And metaheres chavila, if you want to be metaher it, you want to be toivel it in a mikvah, you have to have the entire bed assembled. It has to be together. That's the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Metames evarim umetaheres evarim. It's possible for it to be mekabel tumah when it's in a state of evarim, which means that the parts are detached. Umetaheres evarim, and it's possible to be toivel it in the mikvah also in a state of evarim. And the Gemara explains it cannot mean in a regular state of evarim where it's totally disassembled, because then it wouldn't be mitame, it wouldn't be mitair, it's not a kli. It has to have a shem kli. The Gemara says that we're talking about arucha ushtei kra'ayim, ktsara ushtei kra'ayim. Now, what's interesting is the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer, we said, holds that even when it's in a state of arucha ushtei kra'ayim, ktsara ushtei kra'ayim, it cannot be mekabel tumah, and also cannot become tahar through the process of tefillah. And at first glance, that would be understood to mean that Rabbi Eliezer holds that when it's in the state of Arucho Shtei Kra'ayim, Ktsara Shtei Kra'ayim, it also has the halacha as if it was totally dismantled, totally disassembled, and that's why he holds that you cannot be mitahirid and it can't be mitkabel tumah in that state. However, it's not mashma like that from Rashi. Rashi says, in Dibar Maschil Umitahiris Chavila, Im Tmeahi, if it is Tmeya, if the bed is Tmeya, Ein Tvila Oilala Evarim Evarim, Tvila does not help for it when it's in the state of Evarim Evarim, Elo Misakna Umatbila. Rather, you have to fix it and then betoivel it, which is mashma that even when it's not fully assembled, it's still considered Tmeya, because Rashi is talking about in that state while it is not fully assembled, and he says that in that state, if it's Tmeya, you have to fix it and go betoivel it. And this is difficult to understand, because inasmuch as Rabbi Eliezer argues on the Chachamim and holds that it's not Metames Evarim and it's not Metaheres Evarim, so why does it retain its Tumah when it gets to that state? And if you tell me that it does retain its Tumah because it's something that comes from a total Kli and it's a partial Kli, so it could retain Tumah even though it cannot receive Tumah, why can't you be Metayer it? So the answer to this question is found in the Marshal on Tosfos de Ramaschal Mita Metames Chavila. The Marshal explains that even Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that in order to be Metame the bed, it needs to be fully assembled, And the same thing is true legabe being retired bed. It has to be in, it has to be complete, it has to be chavila, it has to be fully assembled. Nevertheless, the mita, when it's in the state of evarim, does not lose its tumah. Kol zman, the das of the person is to reassemble it. Because then we don't see its state of being disassembled as being a bittel of the bed. The bed exists, it's just that it doesn't exist in its complete form. So in order to be mekabel tumah, it has to be in its complete form, because the only thing that's mekabel tumah is a kli in its shleimus. And so too, in order to be metayer it, you can only be metayer the whole kli at once. However, the tumah is still not pukka, it doesn't leave it fully when you disassemble it in the event that your plan is to reassemble it. Because the concept of a bet is still here, it's just that it's in pieces. If you take a look at the marsha, in Tosfos Dibur Maschil Ba'arucha and Daf Tes Vav Med Beis, he takes issue with this marshal. Take a look at the marsha and the Kani Re'eim, how he answers the question that the marsha asks on the marshal. Tosfos brings down a Tosefta that learns the Machloikas of Belezer and the Chachamim entirely differently. The subject matter of their Machloikas is not whether Arucha Ushtei Kra'ayim could receive Tuma or become Tahar. Rather, the question at hand is whether when you have an Arucha that's attached to the Kra'ayim, is that considered a chibur or not? And what this means is, just like when you have a full bed and you touch part of the bed, the entire bed becomes tame, because there's a chibur between the parts, since they all make up one entity called a bed. What is the din if you have arucha ushtei kra'ayim and you touch part of it? You touch, let's say, the kera. Does the rest of it become tame? Similarly, they argue, what is the halacha if you take that arucha ushtei kra'ayim and you're toivel it? Do we consider the arucha ushtei kra'ayim as being one entity and therefore the tefillah works? Or do we say that in order to be toivel these parts, you can be toivel the parts, and that's not the problem? The problem is, though, that there's a chtitza, because since they do not function together as one complete entity of a bed, the only way to be metayer the parts is by being metayer and being toivel each part individually. And so if you're toivel the kra'ayim together with the arucha, then there's a chtitza, because you're not being toivel the full kera by itself. You have to be toivel each part individually. And the attachment of the arucha to those kra'ayim constitutes a chtitza. So Rabbi Lezer, according to Tosefta, holds that it is a chibur, and therefore, number one, if you touch part of it, the entire thing becomes tummy, even though it's not a complete bed. And number two, it's not going to be a chitza legabe, the din of tefillah. Mashiach and the Chachamim argue, and they hold both of these things are not true. They say that legabe being metame it, it's not going to be metame the rest of it because it's not a complete bed. And legabe taira, it's going to be considered a chitza. The Gemara brings down the member that we mentioned earlier from Rab Ami Bar Tivyoimi, that you're not allowed to be misachich with beloy kalim, something that used to be a kli and was minimized from the shir. Like the Gemara explains, matloni yeshein behem sholosh al sholosh. Now Rashi and Tezvav Mebeis explains that although these things, like matloni yeshein behem sholosh al sholosh, right now are not mekabel tumah, nevertheless, we're goyzer, kiven the mekli asu gazer b'rabbanan. The rabbanan were goyzer. That would seem to mean that we're worried that a person is going to be misachech with a complete kli, not a kli that is lacking the shear. The Taz in Simen Tuf Reish Chof Tes, Sivkot and Beis, where the Shulchan Aruch paskins the din, that tzchach has to be something that's not mekabel tumah, he says it means something that's not roy lekabel tumah. And he says that there is, in the Maril, it says the words that you're not allowed to use certain kalim because we're choshish that shema nitmu'u. Maybe they are tame. And the Taz says that this is a toy. Some Talmud must have written this, a Talmud toya, because he was toyla the din, whether it's nitma mamish. In other words, the person who wrote down the maril makes it sound like there's no problem with something that has potential to be mekabel tumah. Rather, the problem is being mesachich with something that actually is tumah. In the Hagoyis Nesiv Chaim over there, he says there was no Talmud toya. What the maril means to say is that you're not allowed to be mesachich with anything that's mekabel tumah. However, when you have shivrei kalim, the things that we're discussing in our sugya, something that was minimized from the shir, it's no longer a kli, so it's no longer mekabel tumah. What's the problem of being mesachich with it? Over there, the Maril says that the chashash is shema nitmu u b'medris. Maybe they became tummy already. So he says, of course, the regular din of being mesachek with kelim is because you're not allowed to be mesachek with the davar hamekabel tumah. But the iser to be mesachek with shivri kelim is because we're worried that maybe it once became tumah. Now that still needs to be understood, because why do I care if it's actually tumah or not? If the gzeri is like Rashi says, the afagav the hashta loy mekabli tumah kiven the mekli asu gozer barabonin, which sounds like what it means is that we're worried that somebody's been going to be mesachek with a real kli, so we shouldn't care whether it actually was once mekabel tumah bepoyel or not. The teretz is that there is another hesber in the iser to be mesachek with shivri kelim, and this really appears in the Rambam in Perkei Halacha Beis. The lashon of the Rambam is v'chein im sichicha b'shivre kelim uvelo yaseihen. If a person is misachich with broken kelim or worn out kelim, psula hoyel v'hoyu mikablin tuma. Since they were mikabel tuma, shema yisachich b'shvarim sha'adayin lo yitiru. Maybe he'll be misachich with broken kelim that have not yet become tohar. We see from the Rambam that the gzeira is not by shivre kelim that we're worried you're going to be misachich with a davar hamekabel tumah. Rather, we're worried that you're going to be mesachek with something that was mekabel tumah and then did not lose its tumah. Adayin lo tiaru. Now, theoretically, it is possible to understand b'das haram that what he means to say is adayin lo tiaru, it still hasn't yet left the potential to be mekabel tumah. So we're geyser like matloni is sheyesh bahen shalosh al shalosh. We're worried that if we allow you to mesach with something that already lost the koyach to mekabel tumah, then you may end up being mesach with something that has the koyach to mekabel tumah. However, that's not really the mashmos of the lashon of the Rambam shadayin loy tiru. So it's mashma like the Nesiv Chaim is saying bedas the Maril, that although the iser of being mesachich with a complete kli is that you're not allowed to be mesachich with something that now could be mekabel tumah even if it's not tumah, nevertheless the iser of mesachich with a shivri kelim is because we're worried that you may not have broken it in such a way that it lost the tumah that was on it. And it sounds like that even though it's an item that cannot be mekabel tumah, but it still didn't lose the tumah that it already had. So it comes out that there are really two chesroines with the davar mekabel tumah. You can't be mesach with something that potentially could be mekabel tumah, and even something that cannot be mekabel tumah, but it has tumah on it, then it also is something that you can't be mesachich with. And I suppose that that's learned out misvara. If you can't be mesachich with something based on the fact that it could be mekabel tumah, so if it has tumah mamish, then of course you can't be mesachich with it. The Mishnah told us, "Hachoitit begodish lasis leisuka ena sukkah." If somebody digs out the inside of a haystack in order to create a sukkah, it's not a good sukkah. And of course, this is because of the chsarn of tasev loymina osui. He didn't place the schach there as schach; it only became schach because he now went and carved out the inside. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Huna lo yishanu ela she'ein sham chalal tefach b'meshach shiva." This halacha that it's not a good sukkah is only where there is no hollow space. The height of a tefach b'meshach shiva, meaning the area that is a kosher sukkah. Rashi explains that since a halal tefach is always seen as the shear that is called an oihel, we find legabe oihel hameis that the shear is a halal tefach. So it comes out that the part of the gadish that's on top has a shame schach. That's called schach because it's something that's being mesachich on an oil. Once you have a halal tefach, you have a shame oil, and therefore whatever is on top of it could be called schach. Memela, it comes out that when you're carving out the inside of the gadish, you're not creating the roof to be called schach. It's already called schach. The only thing that you're doing is you're being machshir the defanois. On the defanois, which have to be 10 tfachim high, you don't have a chsarin of tasa v'loy min ha'osi. There's no din tasa on the defanois, only on the schach. Now one can ask that it's not only the defanis that have to be 10 tfachim high. The din 10 tfachim is a halacha in the halal ha'sukkah. As you see from the Gemara in Daf Dalet by Yosi Gavoya Yud Tfachim, if the sukkah was 10 tfachim high, but there are branches that are going down, l'soich yud, so the Gemara says that there's a problem of diras rucha. And the Briskarov has a very lengthy discussion about this, how the din of diras rucha is a halacha in the halal of the sukkah, not a din in the fanis. In which case, we have to figure out, why does Rashi say that the only thing you're being machshir, al yidei being choytit begodish, is the defanis? And not the sukkah. The sukkah also has to be 10 tfachim inside. The halal sukkah needs 10 tfachim. The teretz is very simple. Because inasmuch as he's being machshir the chalal ha-sukkah al yidei being choited begadish, that's not tasav loy min ha-asui. Because that he's doing v'yadayim. He's carving out the chalal ha-sukkah. He's creating it with his hands to be a height of 10 tfachim. It's only the defanis and the schach that we have to discuss that it happens memela. So as far as the schach is concerned, he didn't make the schach al yidei is chatita because it already had a chalal tefach. And as far as the defanis are concerned, Rashi says, there's no din tasa legabe the defanis. Now Rashi, in Divar Maschel Avalam Yesh, says that if you have a chalal tefach, nimtza shem schach al oisei godish, the godish on top of the chalal tefach has a shem schach, when you carve out the inside from the bottom upward, that is not the asiyah. So from Rashi you see that the chatita goes from the bottom up. The Tosis Rid is medayik this Rashi, and he says he doesn't agree with him. Because he says, you see from Rashi that the chalal tefach is all the way on the bottom of the gadish. And when he's being choitet, he's taking out the hay from the bottom of the gadish all the way till the top. He says in such a case it can't be kosher, because you no longer have the part of the gadish that was put there l'shem tzel. You got rid of whatever was on top of the chalal tefach, and all you're left with is the umrim, the bundles that were put all the way on the top, and that was not put there l'shem tzel, because it wasn't being mesachich over a chalal tefach. That was put there liyabish, just to dry them out. So therefore, he learns the exact opposite. He says that what happened was you put a gadish there and all of the tvua that you put there was in order to dry it out. However, all the way at the top of the gadish, you left a halal tefach, and on top of that halal tefach, you put one more layer of hay, and that was put there l'shem tzel, because it was being misachich on top of a halal tefach. Then you went and carved out milmala lamata, not milmata lamala like Rashi says, but milmala lamata from the top down. So in such a case, he says it's exactly like a sukkah that was not big enough, and you were chokek aguma, like the Gemara says earlier, in order to be mashlamit la'asara. The Ran, however, does not learn Rashi the way the Tosis Rid learns Rashi. He says, "V'nirim l'shoinoi." From Rashi's lashon, it would appear the hani mili ki chotit le milmata lamala, that it only works if you carve out milmata lamala from the bottom up. To mishayir le l'schach k'moy shehu, you leave the schach the way that it is. V'chotit lamata b'karka hasukkah. The carving out is taking place underneath the chalal tefach and not above it, the way that Tosfos Rid understands. He says, "Avalim chotat lamala psula deschach demeikara lesi ba'olam," because the schach that you originally have is no longer here. Uschach tahashta is b'mishum tasav lemin asui. He says, if you were to do it the other way, the way that Tosfos Rid understood Rashi, not only does he say you have a problem because that top schach was not put there l'shem tzel, he says that was never being mesachich on a oil tefach. And therefore, you would have the problem of tasav loymina asui with regards to that tzach. Not just a problem that it wasn't put there l'shem tzel. Then the Rando says, v'ikaman d'shari, some would be matter in this case, in the case that the Tosfos Rid is attributing to Rashi. Mishum d'kol d'bahadi schacha afilu samech tuva schachavi. Since on the bottom you have a halal tefach, it's true that those pieces that you put all the way on top didn't have a halal tefach underneath them, but we view the entire area that's filled up with the hay as being one large schach. Even though it's very thick, that all is considered schach, and that schach has a halal tefach underneath it. So there is no problem of tasav loymin asi legabi the top layer, because the top layer was always considered a chaluk of your schach that was being mesachich on top of an oil tefach. Another issue that needs to be clarified here is what was the person's original intention when he put the gadish down on the ground. The Ritva learns that we need to be talking about a case where the person put the gadish there l'shem tzel. Similarly, the Tosfos Rid that we mentioned clearly learns that you put it there on top of the halal tefach l'shem tzel. Because that's his whole problem with the way that Rashi's learning. He says that the schach that's on top of the gadish, since Rashi, according to his understanding, is talking about where the halal tefach was on the bottom, so he says that this schach all the way on top was not put there l'shem tzel. So he learns that the only way that it could be kosher is your original intention was to put the gadish here, or at least the part that's on top of the halal tefach, l'shem tzel. However, Rashi's Lashon is not mashma that you put anything there l'shem tzel. It's just mashma that you have a halal tefach and it has a shem oil. And the Sfasemis asks on Rashi, and this is the way the Ritva also learns Bedas Rashi, why is it that you don't need to put it there l'shem tzel? The Ritva says that Rashi's Lashon is not mechuvar b'zeh devade kol shaloi hinicha mitchila l'shem tzel ena klum mishum maisa shiasa arakach. Whatever you do later is not going to help because it has to be made l'shem tzel l'chatchila. However, if you take a look at the Lashon of the Rif says, im yesh shom chalal tefach b'meshach shiva, if there was a chalal tefach v'chotat l'shem sukkah, harezu sukkah. The Bir Halacha in Siman Tov Reish Lamed Hei, the Ramaschul v'chotat, asks that l'chayra, you only need l'chatchila, that it should be l'shem tzel. Afterwards, when you're chotit, it doesn't need to be l'shem sukkah. Because, like Rashi says, all you're doing later is defanis. The Sfasema says that you have to say Bedas Arif that you do not need the original Halal Tefach to be made L'Shem Tzel. As long as you made an Oihel L'Chatchila, it helps later to be Choytet L'Shem Tzel. And there's no problem with Tasev Eloi Min HaAsi, because the Asiya, all we need for the Asiya, the original Asiya, is that it was made as a Schach on top of an Oihel. So it comes out that there are two Tanoim in the Kashrus of a Sukkah. One Tanai is that the schach has to be made l'shem tzel, but that is possible to achieve through the means of chatita. There's no problem of tasev loy min ha'osoy legabe that quality that the schach has to have, that it has to be l'shem tzel. The other Tanai is that it has to be schach on top of an oihel. If there was a halal tefach, then it's enough to give it the shem schach, but legabe that, it has to be done, not min ha'osoy. So this makes the sugya a lot more comfortable, because you don't find any mention in the Gemara of the fact that the person, when he put the Gaddish down originally, his intention was that it should be there l'shem tzel. So even though that is the position of the Ritva, as we mentioned, but Rashi has good reason to assume that it's not that way. Now the Shita of the Rambam seems to be the exact opposite of Shita's Rashi. The Lashon of the Rambam in Perek Hei, Halacha Tes, is Avo Sukkah Shenasis Me'eleha Psula Lefish Lenasis Letzel. The reason why a sukkah that was Nasis Me'eleh is Psula is because it was not made Letzel. V'chein achoyteit begodish v'yiseyu sukkah ena sukkah sharei loy imer godish ze Letzel. The Rambam learns that the whole problem of Choytit Begadish is that it wasn't made L'Shem Tzel. Now the Bir Halacha in Siman Tov Reish Lamed Hei, the Bar Maschil Avol Sukkah asks, he says that Lashon is very dochik because it's for sure that even if the person had Kavana when he made the Gadish, that he's going to later on be Choytit and he's going to make it into a Sukkah, it's also possible because he didn't do a Maise in the Schach. Now he does bring down a Balamur that says that if you put down the Gadish Chatchil L'Shem Tzel al Manas to be Choytit afterwards, then it would be Ksheira. However, the Bir Halacha says that all the poskim argue on this, so he doesn't want to learn that that's pshat in the Rambam. So the Emek Bracha explains in Shittas HaRambam that although a sukkah that was nasas me'eleha is a problem of tasav loy min ha'asui, nevertheless, a person who's choytit begadish, that's not called that it was nasas me'eleha, because by carving out the inside of the gadish, that is called an asiya. As far as the din of tasa, there is no problem. The problem is only that he didn't do a maise to the gufa schach, and therefore it's not considered nasa letzel. And that's why the Lashon of the Rambam is that it's possible because it was loy nasa letzel. So it comes out, according to his explanation in Shittas Rambam, the exact opposite of what we just explained with Shittas Rashi. Whereas in Shittas Rashi we explained that to achieve the quality of l'shem tzel, the chatita is good. It's enough to just be choytet the inside, and that will give the schach a shem tzel, and you do not need it to be nase al yidei a maise with the gufa schach l'shem tzel. And it's only the quality of the schach that it's being mesachich on top of an oil. That's what has to be done through a maise and cannot be nasas me'eleha. The Rambam lefiyah emek brach holds the exact opposite. The fact that it has to be on top of an oil, it has to be mesachich on top of something, it's enough to be choytet the inside to give it a din asiyah. The fact that it has to be l'shem tzel, that's what you need a maise al yidei b'nei adam for, and that's why you have to originally put it there l'shem tzel. A similar discussion is had between the Poskim regarding the din that you're not supposed to put the schach before the defanis. The Ramah says this beferish, she passes the Siman Tov Reish Lamed Hei, that you're not supposed to make the schach before constructing the defanis. The Bach says that from the Levush it's mashma, that this is even a psul b'dieved. And the Makar is from this din of Tasav Loi Min HaAsui. Says the Bach, How could you bring a raya from the din of Tasvul Amin Asa to the din of Choytet Begadish? By Choytet Begadish, you didn't even put the tvua there, the hay there, l'shem schach, and therefore the psul is because of Tasvul Amin Asa, because you put something there that wasn't considered schach at all. But if a person puts schach that has a shem schach and it's there in order to be misachach, and he puts the defanis later, then it shouldn't be possible, but he have it. Says the Sfasemes, this isn't true. You see from the Ran and the Ritva that the person who made the Gaddish did the whole thing, L'shem Tzel. As we mentioned, the Ritva Shita is that when you put it there originally, you put it there for Tzel. And the Raya is that if you didn't put it there L'shem Tzel, then even when you have a Halal Tefach, it would still be possible. So obviously you put it there L'shem Tzel. And even so, there's a problem when you're choytid begadish, if there was no halal tefach l'chatchila. So he doesn't understand the Bach's taina. Of course, the way that we explain Shitas Rashi, the Bach makes a lot of sense. Because according to Shitas Rashi, you don't need the gadish to have been put there at l'shem tzel. Now it happens to be that the Bach is medayik from the Lashon of Rashi later on our Amud, that he holds that it would be kosher if you were to put the fanis after the schach is there. Because the Mishnah says, "Hamishalshal defanes milmalo lamata." If a person takes a mat and machzelis and he creates walls milmalo lamata from on top of the sukkah going downward, im gavoyim in aretz shloshet tefachim psula. Rashi in Dibur Maschim milmalo lamata says, "Shehischil laroig hamechitza." He started to weave the mechitza eitzel haschach va'irigubo klape mata. Says the Bach, "Eitzel haschach" sounds like the schach already exists. There's already schach there, and then he starts making the defanis. And it's before that the only reason why it's no good is if it's above the aretz shloshet tefachim. Without that problem, it's kosher, even though you started making the defanis after the schach was already there. The Taz says that there's not such a raya because the kavana doesn't have to mean eitzel haschach, that there's already schach there mamish. It means eitzel the makam of the schach. I'll call upon him, the Bach holds that there is a dik from the Rashi, and according to what we're saying, Rashi is l'shitasa, because according to the way we explained Rashi, the Gaddish was not put there l'shem tzel, and nevertheless, the fanis are coming after the schach, and is kosher, at least in the case where you had a halal tefach. So you see that Rashi's shita is, like the Bach says, there is a raya from Choytet Begaddish, that it's kosher b'di'evet if you put the fanis there after the schach. Masha'en kein, the Sfasemes' taina is true according to the other Rishonim, like the Ritva and the Tosis Rit and the Ran, who hold that there has to be a schach that was placed there l'chatchila l'shem tzel. In the Mishnah, we learn about a machlokes, the Tanakama and Rabbi Yosi. The Tanakama shita is that there's a chilik between mishal shel defanes milmala lamata and mishal shel defanes milmata lamala. If you're mishal shel defanes, a person starts weaving a wall starting from the makam haschach and going downward, so over there we say that if there's a space of three tfachim between the wall and the karka, it's no good because it's a mechitza shagdiyim boikimbo. Masha'en kein, if he starts milmata lamala im gavoya asar tfachim, then it's ksheira, even if there's a large space between the wall and the schach, it's still ksheira, as we will explain later. Rabbi Yosi is not mechalik between milmata lamala and milmala lamata. The Gemara explains that the Yisod HaMachloikis is, do we say a mechitza tluya materes or mechitza tluya ain't a materes? Now, the question is, if you hold that mechitza tluya ain't a materes, then when do we ever apply the principle of good achis? We know there's halach l'moshe m'sinai, just like there's halach l'moshe m'sinai called good asik, that if you have a wall which is 10 tefachim high, then we view it as if the wall continues to extend upwards. And according to some Rishonim, that's the Hesber, and why in our Mishnah, according to the Tanakama as well, milmata lamala, it's kshera, even when you have a large space. So too, there's a rule called good achis, that when you have a wall that's 10 tefachim high, then we look at it as if the wall extends downward. And that would seem to be the reason for Rabbi Yosi, who doesn't care that it's mechitza shagdiyim baikimba, because he says that we have a rule called good achis mechitza. So if you hold that mechitza tluya is not materis because of the reason gdiyim baikim, then when do we ever say good achis? This is a kasha that the Pnei Yeshua asks over here in our sugya. And interestingly enough, he says that the only time we really ever apply, according to this Mandiyamar, the principle called good achis is in a case like pi tikra yoyed v'soysim. There's a din that if the edge of a tikra, which means the ceiling, is exposed, then we view it as if the pi tikra is yoyed v'soysim and closes up the rishus. over there, since we're not looking at it as a full mechitza, then we don't have to worry about the fact that it's a mechitza shagdi and boikimbo. So it comes out that since it's less of a mechitza, we don't worry about gdi and boikimbo. Masha'en kain, if you have a real mechitza, then we do have a problem of gdi and boikimbo, and we are not machshir it based on the principle called good achis. And this is a little uncomfortable because inasmuch as we have a problem that Gedim are Boikimba and cannot give something the din of a mechitza, then why would we allow that to be true by Pitikra? Now the Aruch Liner also asks this question. He says, when do we ever have the rule called good achis? And he says a very simple answer. He says, imagine that you have a mechitza that begins from the ground and goes up 9 tfachim, less than 10 tfachim. Right now you don't have a kosher mechitza yet. After that, you also have another 10 tfachim of avir, of space. And on top of the 10 tfachim of avir, you have another mechitza that is 10 tfachim high. So again, it starts with a mechitza that's less than 10 tfachim, you have a space that's 10 tfachim, and then on top of that, a mechitza that is 10 tfachim high. The mechitza over here is not a mechitza shagdi and boikimba, because in order for it to be considered mechitza shagdi and boikimba, you need to have 3 tfachim next to the ground that the gediyim could walk through. So it's not a mechitza that could be broken through by gediyim. Nevertheless, if you don't have the good achis based on the mechitza that's all the way on top, then there's a problem because your bottom mechitza is not 10 tfachim high, so it's not kosher. You apply the principle of good achis to say that it's considered like it's fully closed up. The Sfasemis also asks the question, and he says that ein echanami, the din that mechitza tluya ein amateris is only a din d'rabbanan. So midai raisa, good achis is a rule that's applied even if you have mechitza shagdi and boikimbo. But the rabbanan came along and said that we don't allow for mechitza tluya to be materis. Now, though we do find the principle of good achis being applied in the Mishneh Mikvois Perek Vav legabe two people that were tovel in a mikvah that was exactly arba'im sa', and one of them took water out with him, and over there it says that if his feet are touching the water, then it's considered like the mikvah is shalim because of the din called good achis. So why do these achrenim have to resort to their terutzim? We have a fairish application of the din of good achis where it's not negeh mechitza shagdim boikimba. The teretz is because the Gemara in Chagiga says beferish that din in the Mishnah Mikvos is only true legabe a special type of tefillah, which is a milo drabanan, meaning that if a person is tami midairaisa and he needs to be toivel on a din dairaisa, then the tefillah doesn't help him. So the good achis is not a real good achis. Now, concerning the din of the Mishnah, that if you're mishalshal defanes mata lamala, even though the mechitza does not reach the schach, there could be a large space in between the mechitza and your schach, it's still kosher. There is a difference of opinion in the Rishonim why that may be true. The Ritva and the Meiri say because of the din called good asik. We say that the mechitza extends itself upwards and is considered as if it reaches all the way till the schach. However, the Pnei Yeshua points out that that does not help according to the Shita of the Ran. Back on the Daled Amud Beis, we saw there was a machloikas between Rava and Abaya in a case where you built a sukkah that was gavoya me'esrim amud. It was too high. But in the middle of the sukkah, you built an amud shehu gavoya asar tfachim. So Abaya says, if there's enough area on top of this amud, then it's kosher because we say good asik mechitza. We look at it like the mechitzas on the side of the amud extend upwards, and therefore it's considered like you have a kosher sukkah on top of the amud, because it's covered with schach. Rava says, Be'inan mechitzeis hanikareis v'leka. Good asik is not going to help you over here, because you need mechitzeis nikareis. Now there's machlokes rishonim how to understand Shitas Rava over there. One way to understand is that he means it only by something like an amud, where there are no mechitzeis nikareis at all. Because the side of the amud, the surfaces that surround the amud, were never made as mechitzas. Rather, they were made as a part of the amud. Masha'en ken, if you were to have, let's say, a sukkah on top of a gag, like the Gemara discusses over there, and you would place poles on the corners of the gag, then we would say that the mechitzas of the house underneath the gag extend themselves upwards. So it's not like Rava never says good asik by sukkah. He only says it in the case of an amud because that's not called mechitzas nikaris. And that is the Mashmos of Tois over there, Daftal and Rebez, and that's the Shita of the Rabbeinu Shvirer Goyin that's brought down by the Rosh in Simen Vav in our Perek. A second opinion, and this is the Shita of Roi Rishonim over there. is that even on the Sfas Agag, Rava would not say the rule of good asik, because the sukkah itself has to have mechitzas nikaris. It's not that he means to differentiate between an amud, which the actual mechitzas are not nikaris, and a gag, where the actual mechitzas for the place that they're being makif are nikaris. Rather, he means to be mechalik between halacha like Erevin and Shabbos, where mechitzas help even though they're not nikaris, and a case of sukkah where you need to have mechitzas that are nikaris for the sukkah itself. So mechitzas that are strictly built on good asik are not going to help you for your sukkah. And this is for the simple reason that the mechitzas, the function of mechitzas, legabe Hilchos Shabbos, is in order to be choitze, in order to be mafsik between rishuyas, so you don't need to have a mechitza that's nicker on the inside. Masha'enkin sukkah, the function of the mechitza is to be makif, a place, and to have it be enclosed and be considered a makam unto itself. Not as a hefsik from the outside, but rather that this place should feel mukif al yidei mechitzas, and if you don't have mechitzas nikaris, it doesn't feel mukif. Now, even according to these shitas, it's possible to learn our Mishnah that since we do have mechitzas nikaris, because there are 10 tfachim of mechitza for the sukkah itself, it's not just built on good asik, therefore it helps you to make it be considered defanis magias l'schach al yidei the rule of good asik. So that would work according to this second opinion as well. However, there's a third opinion over there on Daf Dalet, and that is that Shita of Rava, who says Be'inu Mechitzas Nikaris Veleka, is that although the rule of good asik helps me legabe Shabbos, but legabe Sukkah, we do not accept good asik at all. You need to have Mechitzas Nikaris, period. There's no way to use Mechitzas of good asik. So according to the Ran, says the Pnei Yeshua, we need to understand, how do you learn our Mishnah? Why is it that our Mishnah allows for mechitzas that are 10 tefachim high? Why is it okay if they're not magiyos l'schach? Says the Pnei Yeshua, there's another principle at work. Not good asik, rather the din called chavoit rami, which means we view the schach as if it is lowered down. Since it's being besachich on top of these mechitzas, we view it as if it's completely lowered down onto those mechitzas. So those are two opinions how to understand why when the Dvanas are not magias l'schach, it's kosher. According to the Ritvan Meiri, we look at it like the wall goes up, and according to the Pnei Yeshua, Rabbi Kivager also mentions Chavoyt Rami, we look at it like the schach is lowered down. There's a third shita, how to understand why the funis einan magias l'schach, it works, and that is in the Shalos Tshuvos Radvaz, Chelik Ches, Simen Ayin Vav. He says, we don't have to apply any halacha l'mishmi Sinai, not good asik and not chavoit rami, because he says that as long as you have a makam, which is mukif with mechitzas, and that makam is also covered with schach, it's a kosher sukkah. A sukkah has two tenoim, and you fulfill both tenoim. Who says that the defanis bichlal have to be magias l'schach? So we have a very fundamental machloikis, understanding what the gedder is when we say that the schach has to be misachich. According to the Rishonim that we mentioned, and according to the Pnei Yeshua, it comes out that the schach has to be misachich on the defanis. Masha'en Kain, according to the Radvaz, the schach has to be misachich on the makam. The makam also has to be mukif with defanis, but there's no halacha that the schach has to be touching the defanis. It doesn't have to be on the defanis. It just has to be misachich over the makam. Now, there's a big nafkamina between the way the Radvaz is learning and the way the other Rishonim are learning. And this, the Radvaz actually mentions himself. There's a machloikis, ligabe, the halacha, as to what happens if the defanis are not magias l'schach, they're 10 tefachim high, and they're much lower than the schach, and also they are not the width of the schach, they're a little bit wider than the schach, so that they're within shloisha tefachim, of where the roichav of the schach starts. The Torah says that this is kosher. And the Bach says that he is medayik from the Ran that this wouldn't be kosher. And the reason is because we do not say two halachos l'moshe b'Sinai. In other words, what you would have to do is first extend the walls upwards using the rule called good asik. And then after you do that, you also have to apply the principle of lavud, saying that those walls which extend themselves upward are mechuber to the schach, which is within three tfachim of where the walls go up. Says the Radvaz, you don't have to use two halachas. The fact that it's mutter when it's lower than the schach is not because of good asik. It's because you have 10 tfachim kosher mechitzes. That's all you need. The makam is mukka with 10 tfachim kosher mechitzes. So as long as it's in 3 tfachim of where the schach is, it's okay, because he says you do say lovud over there, but that's not using lovud and good asik. Masha'en Kane, the Bach who says that it's no good, and there are other ishanim that the Radvaz brings down that are not machshir, and that's because they understand that the way that it works is, like we mentioned, because of good asik. It's not like the Radvaz understands that the mukav is mukav with 10 tfachim mechitzes. Rather, you have to allow those mechitzes to extend themselves upwards, and then you're applying two principles. There's good asik, letting them go upwards, and then sideways, you're using lavud. The Gemara has a whole discussion about mechitza tluya. And the Gemara explains that Rabbi Yossi, in our sugya, holds that mechitza tluya works by sukkah. The Gemara then attempts to say that Rabbi Yossi is the same shita as Rabbi Yehuda, legabe the din of bar shebein shtei chatzeres, whether you can be mamalim imenu b'shabbos or not. According to Rabbi Yehuda, since there's a mechitza on top, there's no problem to take mayim out of the bar, and we don't have to worry that maybe the bar came from the other chatzer. The Gemara then says that there's a difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Loi Rabbi Yehuda sover lak Rabbi Yossi, v'loi Rabbi Yossi sover lak Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is only matir by Ruvi Chatzeres, which is Drabanan, but Sukkah he wouldn't be matir because it's Daraisa. And Rabbi Yossi, says the Gemara, perhaps only says it by Sukkah, which is a mitzvah saseh. But Shabbos, since the Iker of Shabbos is Isser Skila, he wouldn't be matir even though Ruvi Chatzeres is only Drabanan. Says the Gemara, if that's true, then the Maisa Shenasa B'tzipori Alpi Minasis Loi Alpi Rabbi Yossi El Alpi Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. What was the Maisa? The Gemara explains that there was once a case in which they forgot a Sefer Torah on Erev Shabbos. So the next day what they did was they brought the Sefer Torah using sadin and using sheets that were hanging al gabi amudim, which was a mechitza teluya. Now when the Gemara quotes the story, the Gemara says that what they did was they were pirsu sadinun al gabi amudim veviu Sefer Torah. The Gemara says, pirsu sakadaitach, how could they have been pirsu? Mehechan heviun b'shabbos, how could they have spread them on Shabbos? Elamatsu sadinun prusim al gabi amudim. Now, why was it that the Gemara felt that it's a davar pashit, that they were not allowed to be pirsu on Shabbos? Rashi explains, because there's an Isra Yitzah. You cannot go and be machtes and moitzi those sadinim. However, Rashi says, don't make the mistake of thinking that the reason why the Gemara says it's a davar pashit, that they couldn't be pirsu sadinim al gabi amudin, is because of the Isra of making an oihel on Shabbos. That is not the problem, says Rashi. Because, and this is the shita of Rashi over here, and in Shabbos, the only time you have an iser of making an oihel arai on Shabbos is when you make a gag. If you have a mechitza beloi gag, lav oihel hu. Such a mechitza is not usser to spread on Shabbos. Rashi brings a Gemara in Erev in Perikol Gages where Shmuel said, negidu li glima, take my talis and spread it that it should service as a mechitza. There was a wall that fell down and there was a need for a mechitza. Tosfos argues on the Shitas Rashi. Tosfos' Shita is that as long as the Mechitza is functioning as a Mechitza Hamateres, it does something halachically, then it's Aser Midin Asiyas Oil, even though it's Menatzad, even though it's not a Gag. If the area is already Mutter, it already has 3 Mechitzas, let's say, and you're adding a 4th Mechitza, that Tosfos agrees is only called Tosfos Oil and is not Aser. Now the Pnei Yeshua discusses the Machloikis Rashi and Tosfos, and he wants to know, B'may nechliku avoysa oylom b'zeh, ishaich isra oyl b'mechitza levad oyloi. What exactly is the Machloikis Rashi and Tosfos? And he adds, V'tepikle, da afilu iloy shaich isra oyl. Let's say that on the side is not called an oyl. Rashi says that on the side, that's only considered a mechitza, that's not an oyl, and an oyl is only on the top. Afilu hachi, nevertheless, shaych be iser binyan. The oil gufa le'ashkan la davim malacha b'fnei atzmei. It's not as if there's a special malacha called asiyas oil, and then we have to discuss is making a mechitza on the side considered an oil or not. The ikar malacha that we're discussing is really malacha's binyan. So boina, you do have a mechitza. Mechitza is considered, if it's kavua, it's considered a binyan. Says the Pnei Yeshua l'kach nira, the ikar kavonis rashi b'masha kosev. The fact that Rashi says in a number of places the mechitza b'loy gag is not considered an oihel, hainu mishum de ikar achilik shebein binyan lo oihel. The main chilik between a binyan and an oihel is that the lashon binyan is shayach bebinyan kavua shemiskayim liyamim rabim. A binyan denotes a permanent structure that's meant to stay. When we use the word oil, we were usually referring to something that is a temporary structure. Ella, says the Pnei Yeshua, afilohachi, even so, chayiv mishum told the deboine. When you make an oil, although an oil, generally speaking, is a temporary structure, it's nevertheless a toldah of boineh because derech oil bekach. It's the normal thing to create an oil as a temporary structure, and that is a toldah of boineh because it also is a form of building. Continues the Pnei Yeshua, and he says that there's another chilik between oil and binyan. Lashon oil is milamala, shemahil al ha'adam. The concept of being mahil on a person is something you only have on top. The ikras yasi lekach. The ikrasi of the oil is to protect the person from on top. Masha'en kein binyan. The ikr binyan is the mechitzis. Therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, Rashi makes a lot of sense because to spread a mechitz on the side and have it function as a mechitza, even though it's only a mechitzas arai, is not a tolda of boina. Because even though it's a mechitza, but it's not here to stay, it's not done as a dover kavua, so it doesn't have anything that's similar to boina. When you have something on top, so then, although it's not here to stay, but we said, derech oil is to be a temporary thing, but the derech of an oil is to be on top. But if it's on the side, you do not have neither the similarity to boina in terms of its permanence, because it's not here to stay, nor do you have its similarity to boina in terms of its being an oil, because it's not on the top. And we said the only thing that's the derech to be created as a temporary structure is an oil, which is mahil on the top. Masha'en came, when you do have something spread on the top, that's similar enough to an oil, which ikr asiyase is derech arai, and then it is considered like a binyan. So that's how he explains Shitas Rashi and answers various questions that are raised in Shitas Rashi. Tosfos, on the other hand, does not make this distinction. Tosfos holds that inasmuch as an oil arai is considered a binyan, so it's similar enough to meleches boine, when it's arai, then we don't care if you make a mechitza that's temporary or you make an oil that's temporary. Both of them are considered similar enough to meleches boine. The Gemara had asked the question that how were they able to bring sadinim? We have mehecha neviim, like Rashi says, there's a meleches hoitzah. The Aruch Liner asks that there are poiskim brought down in Simen Shin Zayin Sifei that hold that amir la'akum is mutter l'tzarech mitzvah. So why can't the Gemara say that the way that they brought the sadinim was by bringing a goy? Answers the Aruch Liner that if they really believed, like those shitas, that Amir La'akam is mutar l'tzarech mitzvah, then they wouldn't have to bring sadinim in the first place. They could just tell a goy to carry the Sefer Torah. Based on this, proves the Aruch Liner that it's not considered a bezoyin to have a goy move a Sefer Torah. Because if it would be considered a bezoyin, then you can't give the teretz that he just gave, and then we're back with the question, why don't we say that they brought the sadinim a goy? Must be, says the Aruch Liner, you're allowed to move it al yidei a goy. You can move a sefer Torah al yidei a goy. It's not considered bezoyin. Being that that's the case, you can never say that the reason why they brought sadinim was through a goy, because then they wouldn't need the sadinim in the first place. They would be able to use a goy to move the sefer Torah. Must be, says the Aruch Liner, they didn't even have a goy available. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Avimi, Machzeles Arba'a Umashahu, Materes Besuka Mishum Doifin. You could have a Machzeles that's Arba'a Umashahu, even though you need 10 Tfachim of Mechitza. Nevertheless, there's a way to create a 10 Tfach Mechitza using a Machzeles that's 4 Tfachim and a Mashahu. How so? Says the Gemara, you take it and hang it Be'emtza. Pachas Mishloish Lamata, less than 3 Tfachim from the ground. So now it's considered, when you combine the less than 3 Tfachim plus the Arba Umashahu from the bottom of the ground, that's like you have already 7 Tfachim. And you hang it less than Shloisha Tfachim from the top, from the Schach, and that's also Lavud. So you basically have Lavud on the bottom, Lavud on the top, and it's considered 10 Tfachim. The Avnei Nezer in Erechaim, Simit Tuf Samachay, asks, why do you need a machzeles arba umashahu? Why can't you just use a machzeles made out of 2 tfachim and a mashahu? And if you take a machzeles, 2 tfachim and a mashahu, put it less than 3 tfachim from the ground, then combined you'll have 5 tfachim plus. And if you have 5 tfachim plus, you have roiv of the 10 tefach mechitza. And we know that there's a rule called oimed merub al haparetz. When it comes to creating mechitzas around a rishus, we know if you have roiv of what you need for the mechitzas, it's enough. So why don't we use the principle called oimed merub al haparetz and suffice with 5 plus tfachim to create a kasher wall? And we know that earlier in Davav, the Gemara used this principle of Oymer Ruba Laparetz to be machshir the length of a wall if it is only 4 plus tfachim. So you have roiv of a kosher adoifin, because you need to have 7 tfachim of a kaisel. And we know that it's kosher because you have roiv, and that's Oymer Ruba Laparetz. So if we're able to use Oymer Ruba Laparetz legabe the oirich of a wall, why can't we use it legabe the height of a wall? Rav Shmuel Rizovsky is mechalik between goiva and oirich, the height of the wall and the length of the wall. Goiva has a shear. The shear is 10 tfachim. That shear is a shear that's said in the etzem doifin. It's a shear that's said in Hilchas doifin. A doifin must be 10 tfachim high. However, the shear of 7 tfachim that we use on davav is not a shear that's really said in the doifin. That's a shear in the size of a sukkah. A sukkah needs to be 7 tfachim long, and it happens to be that the sukkah needs to be mukef with mechitzas. An area that needs to be a certain size. If you have oymer ruba laparetz, then we say that that area is considered like it's mukef. Since the shear was not said in the actual doifin, it's only said in the makim, we employ the principle called oymer ruba laparetz to say that it's considered like it's mukif. Masha ein kein, in the doifin, the height of the doifin, we have a shear, and you cannot use roiv of that shear in order to be machshir it, because this din is Allah HaMash B'Sinai, that in order to be considered a doifin, it has to be a height of 10 tfachim. There was a shear that was said in the actual wall. On the din that the Gemara just said, that machzelas arba o mashahu works because you say loved on the bottom and loved on the top, the Gemara asks, pshita, we know about loved, so what's the chiddush? The Gemara answers, ma'u retema, chad loved amrinan, trey loved loy amrinan. I may think that you only say one loved and not twice loved. The Gemara says, kamash balon, that you say trey loved as well. Toisfis in the Ramaschil, ma'u retema asks, that v'tema, the hanami milster pshita hi, we already have, and Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, it says that you could take a kana, pachas mishloisha, works as a doifin, just like it works by Shabbos. If you take a kana and you stick it in the ground, and next to that, closer than 3 tfachim away, you put another kana, and so forth, so it works as a mechitza. So you see that you say more than one lovud. The Aruch Lener gives a very interesting teretz to Tosfos' kasha. The Aruch Lener says that there are really two dinim in Lavud. Number one, there's halacha in Lavud that says that the area that's in between the part that's mukav with the mechitzas, the part that is avir, is considered like it's sasim. That's one halacha in Lavud. We dan it as if there is no avir there. Number two, says the Aruch Lener, we also know that that part is considered as if it has a mechitza and it was mashlim to the shir mechitza. The first halacha says that there's no aver bothering us. The second halacha says that we're mitzarif, that closed part that was closed al yidei lavud, to the shir mechitza. Now, if we would only have the source on Daf Zayin that says that kana kana pachas mishloisha works as a doifin, I would say perhaps that all we see from there is that you don't get bothered by the aver that's in between the kanim. Because perhaps we're talking about a case where if you're mitzarif, the shear of each one of those kanim together, you have enough of a kashrus of a wall. In which case, the only chiddush that we see from that Gemara is that the aver in between those kanim doesn't bother us. How do we know that you can use lavud to be machshir a doifin and to give you the shear that you need for a doifin? And even though there are makaris that you do say that, but not in the form of trey lavud, you find l'mashal and davav that we use lavud to be machshir a mechitza. But this Gemara shows us that we can use trey lavud to be considered like it's not only closed up, but we're mitzarif, the part that's closed up, to the shir mechitza. That's why you need our Gemara.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.